How do you raise good kids? If you're a parent or planning to be one, you've probably given this question a fair bit of thought. But if you'd like to take a scientific approach, you'll want to hear these big ideas from Raising Mentally Strong Kids, How to Combine the Power of Neuroscience with Love and Logic to Grow Confident, Kind, Responsible, and Resilient Children and Young Adults by Daniel Amen and Charles Fay. Daniel is a physician, adult and child psychiatrist, and the founder of Amen Clinics. Charles is an author, speaker, and psychologist specializing in child, adolescent, and family psychotherapy. Here he is to share five big ideas from their book.
Hi, this is Dr. Charles Fay. I'm an internationally recognized author, public speaker, consultant, and expert on practical strategies for helping parents and educators promote respect, responsibility, and resilience in youth of all ages. I'm the president of the Love and Logic Institute, and I'm a parent of two adult men and a teenage son who's on the cusp of becoming an adult. I and my friend, Daniel Amen, MD, are excited to announce our new book, Raising Mentally Strong Kids, How to Combine the Power of Neuroscience with Love and Logic to Grow Confident, Kind, Responsible, and Resilient Children and Young Adults. Daniel Amen, MD, is a child and adult psychiatrist, one of the world's most visible and influential experts on brain health and mental health, with millions of followers on social media, has authored over 40 books, 19 of which are national bestsellers, is an award-winning researcher, is a popular national and international speaker, and has 6 children and 5 grandchildren. I'd like to share 5 takeaways from our book, each of which is built on combining the power of neuroscience and practical psychological techniques to create mentally strong kids. The first takeaway is this: clear goals are critical for parents and kids. Do you know what you're trying to accomplish as a parent, or are you just winging it? If you're like most parents, you're probably just trying to get through the day. But taking the time to think about your goals for your child will ultimately pave the way to mental strength for you and your child. Some common goals include raising kids who are competent, responsible, kind and caring, resourceful and resilient, self-controlled and confident. Dr. Amen and I each keep a list of our individual goals, and we start each day by looking at them. This helps us keep our behavior consistent with what we want. What are your goals as your parent? Think about them and write them down. Dr. Amen has all of his patients, whether they're 5 years old or 75 years old, do a goal-setting experience. He calls it the one-page miracle. This experience can quickly focus and change your life and your child's life. Simply take one sheet of paper and write down exactly what you want, not what you don't want, in the major areas of your life as a parent. Relationships with your spouse and kids, work and finances, including work-life balance, self, which includes physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual health. Goal setting isn't just for parents. It's also one of the best ways to set your child up for mental strength and success. When children know what they want, they're more likely to match their behavior to get it. Similarly, on one sheet of paper, have your child clearly write out what's important to them in these areas: relationships, family and friends, school, academic performance, teachers, classmates, self, physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual health. After you finish, place this piece of paper where you and your child can see it every day. That way, every day your child can focus their eyes on what's important to them. Once you and your child have your goals, learn 3 of the most powerful words in the English language. Does it fit? Does your behavior fit with your parenting goals? Is it helping you achieve what you want, or is it hurting your chances of getting what you desire? The same goes for your child. Is their behavior helping or hurting their ability to reach their goals? Asking, does it fit, reinforces good decision-making and mental strength. The second takeaway is this: brain health for kids and parents is foundational. If you want your child to be mentally strong, it starts with helping them have a healthy brain. And brain health is important for you, too, because effective parenting requires mental strength. Here are 3 brain principles for kids and parents. Number 1, develop a love affair with your brain. You need to love the 3-pound mass between your ears because your brain controls how you think, act, feel, and manage those difficult situations that leave you wanting to lecture, threaten, scream, or use some other ineffective parenting strategy. When you fall in love with your brain, you start taking better care of it. You feed it, exercise it, and rest it. Number two, teach your child to love and protect their brain. Modeling is one of the most powerful ways to teach your kids. Seeing you falling head over heels in love with your brain will help them develop a similar love affair. Loving the brain also means protecting it from harm. Mild head injuries from everyday things like falling off a bike can be a major cause of problems with focus, moods, anxiousness, temper, and more. That's why protecting a child's brain is essential for mental strength. It's critical for parents, too. Many parents never make the connection between their emotional or cognitive issues and a minor head injury that occurred years or even decades earlier. Number three, educate your child about how to care for their brain. It's not hard. Dr. Amen started teaching his daughter Chloe when she was just 2 years old how to make choices to care for her brain. Show by example how to avoid anything that hurts the brain, such as wear a helmet when biking to avoid head trauma, don't smoke, say no to alcohol, don't eat the standard American diet. In addition, show them how to do things that help the brain, such as eating nutritious foods, exercising, getting great sleep, learning new things, resisting inaccurate and negative thinking, avoiding overexposure to screens, and taking high-quality supplements. The third takeaway is this. Relationship matters, especially special time and active listening. Do you want your child to share your values, be able to better cope with all the stresses life will throw at them, and have good life skills? And do you want to reduce the chances that they'll engage in risky or unhealthy behaviors? Of course you do. There's one important factor at the foundation of all these things. What is it? It's having a relationship with your child. When parents fail to bond with their child, it sets the stage for trouble and makes parenting even harder than it already is. The good news is, even if you don't have the best relationship with your child yet, there is still hope. Relationships require two things: time and a willingness to listen. Unfortunately, too many parents aren't getting enough quality time communicating with their kids. We may be too busy with work or household chores, or we may be too distracted by our phones or social media. In one survey, 40% of parents admitted that conversations with their kids typically run shy of the 10-minute mark. Here's one exercise that'll improve the quality of your relationship with your child in a very short period of time. We call it special time. Here are the instructions. Number one, spend 20 minutes a day with your child doing something that they would like to do. Number two, during this special time, do not give any parental commands, questions, or directives. Number three, notice as many positive behaviors as you can. Lastly, listen more than you talk. Here's a second exercise that can greatly improve your relationship with your child. It's called active listening. Here are the steps. Number one, repeat back what your child says without judgment. Number two, listen for the feeling behind their words. And number three, reflect back what your child is saying and feeling. These two exercises can be so helpful in strengthening your relationship, which goes a long way in increasing your ability to be a positive influence in your child's life. The fourth takeaway is this. Parents need to let kids make mistakes. If you want to raise mentally strong kids, you need to let them make mistakes and cope with the consequences. This helps them learn from their mistakes and become more resilient. Too many parents try too hard to avoid mistakes. For example, helicopter parents try to remove all obstacles so their kids can live in a perfect world. And whenever there's a problem, they rush into the rescue. Unfortunately, when you solve their problems for them, it disempowers them and they learn to be dependent on you. Here are three downsides of being a helicopter parent. Number one, you're more likely to experience massive burnout. Number two, you send this message to your child. You are weak and incapable. That's why I need to protect and rescue you from the world. And number three, you create irresponsible, incapable, and often resentful kids. Drill sergeant parents are another example. They tend to micromanage their kids to prevent mistakes and punish them when they do something wrong. Drill sergeant parents want it done their way, and they get their child's compliance through anger, intimidation, and fear. This style leads to a lot of conflict and unhealthy messages. Three downsides of being a drill sergeant parent. Number one, by trying to avoid mistakes, you almost always end up disempowering your child. Number two, you fuel incompetence, unhappiness, and discord. Number three, you send "you can't think" messages. Now let's look at consultant parents. They rescue only when absolutely necessary. They demonstrate respect to their kids and they expect it in return. They let their kids make mistakes when the consequences are more affordable. What are some examples of affordable consequences? Refusing to eat what's served at dinner and feeling a little hungry until breakfast. Getting angry, breaking your favorite toy and doing without it. Forgetting your sports equipment and having to sit out the game. If youngsters don't have the opportunity to make mistakes and learn from them at an early age, the consequences become bigger and more harmful as they get older. Letting kids make mistakes help them develop a sense of personal responsibility, a key component of mental strength. This sends healthy and empowering messages to kids and helps create responsible, capable, and self-reliant adults. We encourage parents to make a list of mistakes you made as a child and what you learned from them. Then write out three mistakes you want your child to make this month, three mistakes this year, and three mistakes by the time they reach adulthood. When your child gets upset about the consequences, and they will, be firm and kind. This means being loving, warm, and empathetic while still enforcing the consequences. The fifth takeaway from our book is this: loving discipline teaches self-control. Do you know which part of the brain controls decision-making, judgment, planning, forethought, impulse control, and follow-through? It's the prefrontal cortex, PFC. A child's PFC isn't fully developed until their mid-20s, so you have to act as their PFC until theirs is developed. This means supervising their behavior by setting rules and limits and enforcing them with loving discipline. Discipline is about teaching, providing instruction and training, not about punishment. Here are the five goals of loving discipline. Number one, to help kids learn right from wrong, good from bad. It's basic common sense. It's what we call the map of love and logic, MAP. The M stands for model healthy behavior. That's teaching by being a good example. The A stands for allowing safe, affordable mistakes. Kids need to have experiences and to experience the consequences of their actions. The P stands for provide empathy. This means showing kids you care about their feelings while at the same time holding them accountable for their actions. The second goal of loving discipline is to help children learn when they're young, when the price tags are small. The quote-unquote price tag of our children's mistakes goes up every day. As we mentioned earlier, help them learn when the consequences are small, not later when they may be life and death. The third goal of loving discipline is this: to help children develop self-discipline so they can experience freedom. One of the most common things we hear from youngsters is that they'd like more freedom in their lives. Most of them think freedom should just be handed to them. What they don't realize is that freedom comes at a cost. It has to be earned. The fourth goal is to help kids learn how to remain strong in the face of hardship. Discipline helps kids learn how to deal with tough situations. If our children are too protected from hardships, they won't be courageous or capable. The fifth and final goal is to strengthen our relationships and make life easier for ourselves. Typically, kids who grow up without loving discipline come to resent their parents, and their parents find themselves counting the days until their offspring become adults and leave home. With loving discipline, we set healthy rules, limits, and boundaries, Ultimately, this helps kids develop self-control, which is essential for becoming mentally strong. Thank you so much for listening. Both Daniel and I hope you enjoy the book.
Thank you, Charles. That was 5 big ideas from Raising Mentally Strong Kids: How to Combine the Power of Neuroscience with Love and Logic to Grow Confident, Kind, Responsible, and Resilient Children and Young Adults by Daniel Amen and Charles Fay. Also, check out our book bite for Brain Body Parenting: How to Stop Managing Behavior and Start Raising Joyful, Resilient Kids by Mona Delahook. I'm Michael Kovnat. Thanks for listening.